Hey, welcome. This is Tony Skirsky, the broker here at Transaction Realty, and we're talking about healthy homes with Dr. Shelley Russell. Welcome.
Thanks, Tony, for having me today.
Dr. Shelley Russell is a pediatrician at Akron Children's Hospital.
Yes, I am. I'm here in Worcester.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. And one of the things that I like talking about, Shelley, is hazards in homes, and that's if you're either buying or renting a home. And one of the big things that are a hot issue for me is lead poisoning, the toxins of lead getting into children. Is that still something that we see today?
Well, actually, Tony, this is a great topic and has been really one of our focuses for a long time in our well child visits. We definitely screen all of our kids at 1 and 2 years of age for lead toxicity. But, you know, it just recently it was again cited as one of the top 6 or 7 items that we need to stay focused on in providing the best care to our children, because lead toxicity is continuing to be a relevant problem for our kids.
So let me get this straight. So it's not like you can just take some antibiotics and the poisoning goes away. How does that work with lead?
So you're right. It is not something that just magically goes away quickly. Now, we know that the environment is the cause. So, like, you can't be born with lead toxicity.
Even if the mother ate lead?
Well, I certainly think that it is one of those things that once you're out of the environment, it is significantly improved situation for the child. So it would be rare, I think, in this country to have enough toxicity in the mom to cause significant problems in children.
So we're just definitely talking about like the environment, lead in the environment, and the children, what, usually 6 and under probably is what we're talking about?
That tends to be the group that we really focus on. Now, one of the things that we continue to think about, though, in any child who's anemic, is lead toxicity. And as you know, there are all sorts of sources for lead in our environment.
And lead-based paint is obviously one of them, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think that while lead-based paint and the dust that kids can get exposed to is certainly one of the major sources. I mean, we need to continue to think of things like in the past that have been a source of lead exposure, like the paint on window blinds, and the paint on toys, and the paint in ceramic vessels that water is in.
So it's a lot of different things. But as realtors, the thing that we see is we see that peeling paint and dust from windows and doors and even porch floors. And even hardwood flooring, the dust that comes off that is just enough to actually get that person sick, that child sick from being on that floor. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So it's amazing that, you know, this lead-based paint's been banned since 1978. Here it's 2017, and we're still having kids poisoned.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that that's the reason why it is still part of our routine well child visit testings, because it continues to be an issue. And it's a subtle thing until it gets really bad.
So are you familiar at all of what's happening in Ohio with legislation? Like, the city of Toledo actually passed an ordinance where it was making landlords mandatorily put their houses on a registry, and they would have to have it do a lead assessment by a lead licensed assessor, and to make sure that all the risks are gone before they could actually rent it to someone. Are you aware of that at all?
No, that's great though for them to be really protecting families that way.
It is great, and it, you know, I feel it's part of fair housing too, because everyone should have equal housing and actually a clean environment to live in.
Absolutely.
Now, the other part about this is that people, including the National Association of Realtors and Ohio Association of Realtors, are trying to get legislation to stop cities like Toledo, and actually even Cleveland is trying to adopt something like this also, to put like a mandatory registry. And they're trying to stop it and just have the Ohio Department of Health do these inspections, but do it on a voluntary basis. Obviously, I don't think that's going to be much of an impact. Do you think that there's any price that we can put on a child's health like that?
Oh, I think that there are just so many tremendous studies that have been done that shows the short-term and the long-term impact of lead toxicity and lead poisoning. I don't think this can be a voluntary thing. I mean, I certainly don't feel like the extra money that landlords will get will go back into providing a lead-free environment.
You know, I concur with you on that. I think that if a landlord gets an inspection for a lead assessment and they do dust wipes and make sure that the house is not contaminated, I mean, if they have to do some repairs, it's to their own property. It's only going to help preserve their asset, and at the same time, it's going to provide a healthy environment for any children that are moving in, or any family members that are moving into that home. So Congress passed this Residential Lead-Based Paint Hazards Reduction Act in 1992, and it was also known as Title 10, and it was to protect families from exposure of lead from paint, dust, and soil contaminated with lead. And I don't think we're doing a good job in 2017 still that we're going to make it voluntary. I think it should be something that's mandatory. And let me ask you, so should there be a time till we figure this all out? Or, I mean, I think from 1978, I think we had enough time to try to figure this out. What do you think?
Well, I think we know, we know the effects of lead toxicity, and it's not like this is a tremendous change in the approach. I mean, we know that lead is hazardous to a lot of different organs. We worry about anemia, we worry about brain development, and longitudinally it affects kids' learning, it affects their ability to get a good job in the future. So I think that it is very short-sighted of us to not make this a priority and to not implement more stringent standards.
You know, I think if we haven't got it right since 1978, I think there has to be some type of push to make it right, because we can't wait any longer. There's been generations that actually have been affected by this lead, it seems like what you're telling me. And how many more generations are we going to have where their cognitive ability has been affected and their health over just some small painting and maintenance and maybe covering up of lead components in homes?
Right. And I think that this echoes a lot of other things that mostly affect children. They don't vote. And so, Congress isn't, or our representatives in a state fashion or federal fashion, don't necessarily hold this as a crisis item. It's when we take a step back and look at how this is hitting our pocketbooks. So when you are talking about lead affecting a number of kids and their learning and us needing to provide special education and more resources for these kids, and it affects our taxes, I feel like then people will start looking at the impact. I certainly think you continue to look at the effect, like you said, generation after generation, and not achieving the potential that everybody can achieve because this has affected their learning and thus their employment opportunities. I think it's very short-sighted of us to not be focused on this.
Well, I think the general population and a lot of realtors think this is something that really isn't a risk anymore. I've actually heard people say, like, well, we've done that lead thing years ago. That's old news. I know the Pediatrics Association doesn't think it's old news. What's their stance on it right now?
Well, once again, the American Academy of Pediatrics is always looking at some of the major environmental things that kids get exposed to, and these are the things that we continue to check with our well visits. So, we check vision and hearing. Obviously, if you can't hear or you can't see, that's going to affect your well-being. We certainly check for anemia, and once again, that can be a sign, that can be one of the first signs of lead toxicity. We check blood pressure, we check lipid profiles, because once again, if you can address a problem early, then we can certainly fend off a lot of critical medical issues, as well as financial components that are tremendous when we're trying to take care of adults who have major medical problems. The American Academy of Pediatrics a few years ago was very proud that one of the pediatricians in Flint, Michigan stood up and said, there's something really wrong. And it was the water source.
You're talking about the water source.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that was one pediatrician who really made a huge impact on her environment. And, it has that ripple effect. Then everybody starts looking a little bit closer, and we have pockets of poor water sources for our families. And once again, it's a crisis when it's your community and your environment. But we always like to think it's going to happen to someone else until it happens to you, and then you want it fixed.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about like other sources of lead, like when it was in the water. I remember when lead was in all gasoline and they put it in so that engines wouldn't knock. But it came right out of the exhaust and it landed into our environment. It didn't change. Lead doesn't change when it goes through a combustion. And we contaminated our whole country with lead. Our roadsides have lead on it. Our soil has lead in it. And that lead seems like it went away because we stopped putting it in. Obviously, it's still in our environment. But the problem with lead-based paint I see is that we're still living around it, unlike the gas. We're now using unleaded gas, but we're still living in homes built before 1978. This paint still is deteriorated. Sometimes it's even covered, but then when it peels off, that lead dust gets into the environment and, gets on children. It gets in children's mouths, and we see this poisoning on and on and on. And until we get rid of all the old housing stock and get rid of all these lead components, we have to have some way to monitor this, I would imagine.
I think your points are very well spoken. I think that it's really critical when we're looking at the people who end up in some of these older homes and in the homes that aren't very well cared for. They're probably some of the people who really have a huge environmental or a multitude of issues that would put them at risk anyway for not succeeding in school and keeping them in poverty. And, you know, that's a really important aspect, I think, that when we're talking about fair housing, you know, it can't be segregated to only checking housing that that upper class people can afford. This really needs to be for everyone.
I concur with you. If we're all about equal housing, it should be equal housing for all, and that includes a healthy environment for all. Either if you're even for buying or selling, you know, I think that a mandatory registry of all rental homes throughout different cities should be implemented. I don't think that a statewide registry that's voluntary is really going to do anything. It's going to be like we haven't changed since 1970. We need to do something drastic. We need to stop this poisoning of our children and have equal housing for all. And this just seems like a small price to pay to have an end to lead poisoning for our children.
I really appreciate your passion about this. I really feel like this is one of those components that we can actually do something about. You know, when we're talking about future successes of our kids, you know, there are things that we don't have a lot of control over. You know, but anything that we can do to shape brains to be more healthy in the future, you know, be it with a more healthy environment, better education, better healthcare, you know, better mental health care for all of our families. You can't put a price tag on it.
Well, Dr. Shelley, thanks for clearing this up. I just hope that everyone out there realizes that this is still an issue, that we do have to address it, and that we need to have a mandatory inspection on all homes that are built before 1978, especially rental homes. I think we're going to start with rental homes. Even if you're buying a home that's built before 1978 and you do have a family, I also suggest that you do either a lead inspection or a lead assessment to know what you're getting into, and then so you can protect your children. But Dr. Russell, thank you for coming in and explaining to us that the risks are still there, and it's something that should not be pushed to the side. And thanks for tuning in to our Healthy Home podcast, and have a healthy day.